Hey guys, it's Sai back here. Welcome back to my podcast. Today, I'm going to tell you about Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. If you haven't listened to my previous podcast about this, you should go and listen to that. And if you have, well, this is the second part of the book, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief by Rick Riordan. Percy was now at Camp Half-Blood, but he was on a bed and he was being spoon-fed some surprisingly delicious what Annabeth had called medicine. When Percy had opened his eyes, he saw a girl with a bandana and blonde hair tied into a ponytail spoon feeding him something that tasted like honey, except it wasn't so watery and the texture was like pudding. The girl who was feeding it was slowly feeding Percy the pudding, but then once she heard a knock on the door, she quickly stuffed the pudding into Percy's mouth. And then Percy fell asleep again. The next time he woke up, the girl was gone, and he heard a familiar voice saying, "Are you okay?" It was Grover. He was standing in the corner, leaning on the bench. Then the stool that Grover was leaning over, well, it wasn't the best one. It had one leg which was really wobbly. And when that leg fell off, well, the chair fell. And then Grover toppled onto the floor. Percy quickly jolted up. But then when he stood up, he noticed that he felt a little bit dizzy. And he fell back onto the bed, sitting down. Grover got up carefully and he said that you're gonna need some help. And after a while, once Percy was feeling better and he was able to walk, Grover took him outside. Percy saw everything outside and he said, "Wait a minute, this isn't the forest that we were in when my mother, died. Grover finished the sentence for Percy. Percy asked, "Was that all really real? Did my mother actually get choked by a crazy monster?" Then, once Percy said crazy monster, Grover said, "That wasn't the crazy monster. That was a minotaur." And he said, "Oh yeah, I forgot. I have a gift for you." He ran into a cabin, came out holding a present, a long one. It wasn't the best wrapped present, but it was something. When Percy opened it, he saw a horn which was dripping with blood. Grover said, "Remember this? That crazy monster, the minotaur, you pulled this off him. It's really hard to kill minotaurs, you know. That was amazing how you did it. You accidentally ripped this off him, so I thought that you might want to keep it." Percy said, "Thanks." Then he saw the girl who was spoon feeding him that honey pudding again. She was running across and then she stopped at the archery field to do some archery. Percy asked Grover, "Who is she? And is she like a doctor or something? Because when I first woke up, I do recall her feeding me something." Grover said, "Oh no, she's just the one who helped me get you back into the cabin." "Oh, and there's Chiron." Percy said, "Who's Chiron?" And Grover said, "Oh, you definitely know him. Once you see him, you'll most probably understand." Grover and Percy ran to a table where two people were sitting. One was Mr. D, who was the god of wine. He's kind of like a mini god. But you'll get to know about that in a little while. Then next to Mr. D was Chiron. Or at least that's the real name of him. Now you're probably wondering, real name? So then what's his fake name? Well, it's Mr. Bruno. When Percy saw him, he said, "Mr. Bruno, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be at Yancey's or something?" Mr. Bruno said, "Oh, Percy, I'm not trained to teach at Yancey's. I'm trained to teach here at Camp Half-Blood." Percy was confused. Then Grover said, "Oh, well, I guess you already met Chiron." Percy said that, "This is Chiron, this is Mr. Bruno, our Latin teacher. Remember, Grover?" But instead of Grover answering the question, Chiron, or as Percy knew him, Mr. Bruno answered the question. He said, "Percy, not only is Grover your friend, but he's also your protector. And that means that he's been protecting you from all the monsters, including Mrs. Dodds at Yancey's. Oh, and about me? I came specially to Yancey's just to teach you and just to bring you to Camp Half-Blood. And do the same thing Grover was doing. Keep you safe." Percy asked, "Why is keeping me safe so important? Am I special or something?" Then Mr. Bruno said, "Special. That's a word that we'll have to talk about later. Well, get into your cabin." And Percy asked, "Cabin?" He said that, Mr. Bruno said that, "There are 12 cabins and 12 gods in the same way. Do you know whose son or who is your father or mother who is a goddess? We all know that your mother was a mortal, but which god is your father?" Percy said, "My father's a god?" Chiron said, "Yeah, of course. That's how you're a half-blood. You're half-mortal, as your mother's a mortal, and you're half-god. Half-boy, half-god." Percy was confused, because he was definitely not a god. I mean, remember Nancy Bobofit? She would beat Percy up. That definitely doesn't make him look like a god, does it? Chiron said that, "We'll discuss about this more in the morning. For now, get into the Hermes cabin. They'll help you, well, get it with the Camp Half-Blood and the new things after your mother has died. Don't worry, Percy. You'll love it here. Oh, remember to come for dinner at 9 o'clock. Percy said, "9 o'clock? That's way too late for dinner. Grover, could you bring Percy to the Hermes cabin? By the way, the Hermes cabin is the last one. And to get there, well, the cabins are arranged in a U-shape. And the table that Mr. D and Chiron were sitting on. Oh, and also, Mr. D had left in the middle of the conversation. So, we don't have to worry about him disturbing Percy or anything now. For now, I mean. So, to get to the Hermes cabin, Percy would have to go through all the cabins in a U-shape. So, Grover was dropping off Percy, and Percy saw that the first three cabins were completely empty. He asked Grover why. Grover said that there were three sons, and he asked Percy, "Do you remember the names?" And Percy said, "Oh yeah, Mr. Bruno taught us this in Latin class. They were Poseidon, Hermes, and Hades, right?" Grover said, "No, Percy, it's Poseidon, Hades, and..." Percy thought, and then he said, "Oh yeah, the god of lightning, Zeus. Wait a minute, they're actually real? Weren't they just Greek myths?" Grover said, "Yeah, of course they're supposed to be told that they're Greek myths to mortals. But to us half-bloods and satyrs..." Percy said, "Wait, Grover, what are satyrs?" Grover, okay. So he took his jeans off and he revealed that he's actually a goat, kind of. His legs weren't normal human legs like us. They were goat legs. That's why he had that weird injury in his legs, which would make him hop around and all. "This is what a satyr is," Grover said. Percy said, "Okay, now that freaks me out. Put your jeans back on." Grover put back on his jeans. And then, well, Percy continued the story that the three gods, evil father, Cronos, ate them up. Like literally, they ate them. He ate them up. His own kids. Crazy, right? He ate them up. But then the big three, who are Poseidon, Hades, and Zeus, fought. And, well, they saved themselves and they made Cronos, who was their father, into millions of pieces and banished him into the pit of Tartarus, which is a really evil pit where no one can really get out of anymore. And also, even if he did get out, he would still be shattered into millions of pieces. So what's the use of that? Cronos was actually evil. So don't worry. Just because he ate the kids, I know it doesn't mean that they have to shatter him into millions of pieces and throw him in the pits of Tartarus. But he was actually really evil. And I mean, whose father eats their kids? Then there was a moment of silence. Percy had reached Hermes' cabin. And Hermes is actually the god of thieves. And he also made some pretty cool inventions, which I don't have the time to name because there are too many. But just to name a few, there was the telephone. Oh, and also he donates to a lot of charities. But he does have pet snakes who are very naughty. Let's not talk about Hermes too much right now because, well, you'll understand about him more. Because sometime in the book series, Percy actually meets Hermes. And, oh no, I've already said too much. Percy, just before getting in the Hermes cabin, asked Grover, why is the cabin still so empty? And Grover said all three of the brothers had sworn to never have kids again. And by looking at the emptiness of these cabins, they have kept their promise. Percy asked Grover, why did they swear to never have kids again? What was the problem with having kids? Grover said, oh, you're asking me too many questions. Just get in your cabin, Percy. Percy got into his cabin. And let's just say that he didn't think it was the best thing ever. I mean, he just had a little corner and he had to put out a blanket for his bed. Imagine sleeping in a room, or not even a room, it was kind of a cabin, so it was pretty big. But you have a tiny space, which is like a corner, and you don't even have a proper mattress or a bed. It's just a little blanket. That too, you have really less things, and you're surrounded by people who might steal them. Don't think I'm going to be really comfortable even sleeping there. I mean, the others might do the same thing. Not sleep. When I sleep, they steal my things. Anyways, Percy had a little trouble making friends, but the oldest person in the cabin, whose name was Luke, no, not the Luke Skywalker from the Star Wars, just Luke. He wasn't actually there because he didn't know what cabin he's in. The Hermes cabin is actually the god of Hermes. Their kids live in this cabin. But then there's some half-blood who don't actually know which cabin they're from, who their father or mother is. So then they get put in with the Hermes cabin, and Harry is going to have to bunk with them for a while. By the way, if you didn't know, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it, but the Hermes cabin, Hermes is actually the god of thieves and letter posting. But thieves, I mean, why would his kids be any different? Well, when it was dinner time, Luke made a line, and he was at the front since he was the oldest, and he's been at Camp Half-Blood for the longest time period. Wait, am I missing something? Yes, let's time travel a little bit back. Right before dinner, this happened. So, Harry was out of his cabin with everything safely tucked away made sure nothing would be stolen. He was just out with Grover. Then Grover ran away. I know, right? It's like Nancy Bobo Fit was there. Well, it was actually Clarice. Clarice, or as I like to say, Clarice. I'll just call her Clarice. Clarice is like this really big dude or girl from the Ares cabin. And Ares is the god of war. And once Harry figured that out, he didn't want to get in a war with himself and die. I mean, it was just his first day at Camp Half-Blood. So he tried to stay away from Clarice, but he got driven with her into the washroom. Don't know which gender it was. Don't think that really matters right now. Because in the fight that they had, like, all of the taps were just blowing up and all. It was all incredibly wet and Clarice got soaked. She even tried pushing Percy into the toilet. Ew. Ugh. That's more disgusting than Nancy Bobo Fit's peanut butter and ketchup sandwiches. Ugh. But surprisingly, Percy was strong and he pushed Clarice away. And he was just standing there like one of those superheroes in a pose. And then the weirdest thing happened. Percy yelled, "Stop!" And then, can you guess what happened? All the sprouting just stopped. It's like the water listened to him. Then, even after he yelled, "Stop!" Clarice was soaking wet. But Percy? He was completely dry. Crazy, right? That's really weird. Don't think that would ever happen to me. Don't think I wanted to. Oh, the fight and not getting wet part? Definitely. But, I mean, I don't want to get in a fight like that where I have to not get wet. Anyways, Percy walked out strong while Clarice was like Grover, running away, wimping like a kid. She went back to her cabin, and when she came back, she brought some other guy. But Percy was close enough to his cabin, got in and slammed the door. You might not know it, but actually the Ares cabin isn't allowed to enter the Hermes cabin's, cabin. Why? Actually, they don't like to, because they think that they're going to end up with a fight with the Hermes cabin. And well, they both are evenly matched. But even so, Luke doesn't allow it. Because if they're both evenly matched, many people could get injured. And well, about the stealing thing about Hermes' cabin, it's gonna happen. 100%. So the Ares cabin just stays out of the, Hermes cabin. It's kind of like in Harry Potter. You know, the girls are allowed to visit the boys' dormitory, but the boys are actually never allowed to visit the girls' dormitory. Weird, but it's similar to this. Anyways, now we fast back forward to where we were. It's dinner time. But they eat dinner a little bit differently here. They all got their dinner served once they got to the dinner area in a line. And then they had to stand in front of the fire. And they had to say their father or mother's name like this. So say I'm Annabeth. Annabeth is Athena's daughter. If I'm Annabeth and I'm standing in front of the fire with my plate, I have to take a piece of food out of my plate, I don't throw it into the fire. First, I say, Oh, great goddess Athena, pleasure the food I'm giving you. And then I throw the food in. And the people in the Hermes cabin will say, Oh, great god Hermes. And the satyrs, this is kind of funny. But sometimes the people at Camp Half-Blood forget to give them food, so they kind of steal it. But they actually eat with the, you know, half-bloods. But they don't have to praise the gods or anything. They're basically praising them itself by saving their kids from dying. So Percy did all that. But then, once he got his food and was in front of the fire, he didn't know which god's name to say. Because he doesn't know who his mother or father is. Well, his father is. Then the weirdest thing happened. Usually, when you're a half-blood, you get to know who your mother or father is by, well, a little symbol appears over your head. And each god has a symbol. And the same thing happened to Percy. A symbol appeared upon his head. I don't really remember what symbol it was, but all I can tell you was that he's the son of Poseidon. Whoa! You're probably saying, wait a minute. Poseidon? Isn't he one of the big three? The big three gods? But didn't they swear to never have children again? How can Percy be the child of one of the big three gods? That's impossible. Well, stop yelling at the screen. Because Grover said that they all swore to keep their promise. But maybe some of them didn't. Some of them, like, well, now what's shown is Poseidon. Poseidon didn't really keep his promise to not have kids again. Percy said Poseidon's name and threw his food into the fire. When he sat down, Annabeth, the girl from Athena, came up to him and said, "You're on my team for capture the flag." Why? Well, Percy didn't really ask, but you might be asking. It was actually because she saw what Percy had done in the, well, toilets. So she really thought that he could help in capture the flag. Capture the flag was going to happen tomorrow, and it's a really cool game which half-bloods play. And, well, it's gonna happen soon, and I'll tell you about it really quickly. So Percy went to sleep, and everyone else did, really. Here's a little funny thing about Percy going to sleep. When he went to sleep, he was actually hugging everything he had, making sure that none of it was gonna be stolen. Even the Minotaur horn. The Minotaur horn was kind of like a, what can you say? Kind of like a souvenir, a memory of his mother. What else was Percy hugging? Well, just a few old comic books and magazines which he and Grover would laugh for hours over. And also, he had a really strange thing. No, it wasn't a blanket, not a pillow. It was actually something like a, what do you call it? A TV remote? Don't know what it does, really. It was never mentioned in the book series. But, pretty sure it's just a piece of junk. Anyways, next morning is the moment you've been asking me for ever since you heard it, which was actually just heard 2 minutes ago. But you've been waiting for it, alright? It's capture the flag! Percy was ready, and he has never been this ready before. Guys, just to tell you, little spoiler, in the movies, Percy plays capture the flag against Annabeth. But in the books, Percy plays capture the flag with Annabeth. Which do you think was more interesting if you read the books? And if you haven't, which do you think will be more interesting? For me, it's definitely the books. Anyways, back to the actual book story. Well, Percy was, as I said, ready for it. But then when he found out he had basically like the worst position in the whole team, he wasn't really as excited as, well, we were anticipating. What's the worst position in the whole team? He thought it's the worst. But I can't say it's the best either. But it's actually really important. But also boring, because you might have to wait for a really long time to get some action going on. What's the position? Well, you know in football there's like a goalkeeper? Now in football, that's really important. But then in capture the flag, it's only important once the opposing team has found the flag. How capture the flag works is two flags are hidden in the woods and each team, Percy was on team red and the other team was obviously team yellow. I'm kidding, it was team blue. So then a blue flag and a red flag is hidden in the, well, you know, forest. Then they have to find the opposing team's colored flag. And then once they do, they have to go to the other team's like goalpost. So look at this. Imagine this in your head, that there's a forest. Okay, and then on either sides of the forest, there are two people standing. One person on each side. On one side, it's someone on team blue. And then in front of them, it's not the forest. It's actually like a little place where you keep the flag. Not like a table, more like a pole. So then once they see someone with the team's flag running, they have to go and kind of like stop them from putting the flag. That's why they're like, they are like a couple feet away from the pole. So Percy was doing the same. But the rules of capture the flag are that they can only like run when they see another person. Until then, they have to stay in the spot where they are. And to make sure that that happens, there's a circle. And this sounds like really boring because Percy wanted to do combat not just standing there and making sure no one captures the flag. He wanted to do combat out in the forest and actually find the flag. By the way, just to describe the area Percy was standing in a little more. So to his left, there's forest, trees and all. To his right, there's more of the forest. In front of him, there's a pole. In front of the pole, there isn't much. But actually, if Percy looks really closely, whoever is like on the other team who is making sure that Percy's team doesn't capture the flag, he can see them because in the middle, there isn't much separating them. Like, imagine if you're on a football field and you're a goalkeeper, right? Then you can still see the goalkeeper of the other team, of the other goal, the one who's standing near the other goal. The same way, Percy can see the person who's standing behind the flag, but only if he looks really closely. But he can also see the flagpole a little bit. And then behind Percy, there was a big river. And actually, you guys know that Camp Half-Blood, I don't think I mentioned this, but I'm mentioning it now. Camp Half-Blood actually has borders around it so that no one who is not a Half-Blood or Satyr or Nymph, all of those type of people who are mortals basically can't enter. Whoever aren't mortals, they're like gods and Half-Bloods and all, they can enter. So then the river is actually kind of like cutting through the borders. Like there's a big border circle. Just imagine you draw a circle on a piece of paper. Then inside the circle, there's the cabins and the big house. The big house is actually where Percy was medicated when, you know, he fainted outside of Camp Half-Blood. Leave that now. Then there's the capture the flag, like, field, game area, whatever you call it. There's that. And then the river, which is like, it's like one side of the river is inside the circle and the other side is outside of the circle. And the river, it's actually kind of like a lake, but they named it a river. I don't remember what the name was. It's more like a lake, like a big, like a really big puddle, which is kind of deep. So I think that counts as a lake, but there's no like living creatures in there. It's just water, like a swimming pool. It's just water. Then suddenly out of nowhere, Clarice, who is on the other team for capture the flag, comes running, holding the red flag in her hand. And the second Percy sees her, Percy bolts. But then, like before the match started, Percy saw like there's like a little ring around the circle. Don't know what that's for, but there was like a little ring around the circle. And Percy, like before the game started, he was like saying in his mind, I should not trip over that ring. I should not trip over that ring. I should not trip over that ring. He just continues saying that in his head. And then guess what happened? He tripped over the little ring around the circle. This is a classic mistake that happens to all of us. He tripped over the ring, but another good thing happened as well. While he tripped over the ring, his hand flew and knocked off the pole. And, well, this was like a rule which wasn't really made. Like, the rules of capture the flag were that the flag has to be kept on the pole while the pole is standing. But then if Percy dropped the pole, like if he made the pole fall down, wouldn't Clarice have to pick it back up and then put the flag on it? Because that's what the rule states, right? Well, Percy took a little while to get up because when he fell, like right before he fell, he was just playing with some rocks around the lake and he was just throwing them into the lake or the river. And then some of the water would splash out. When Harry tripped, while he was trying to get up, he was like a little bit, it was really slippery that time. Because the like court where they play, it's like just grass. There's not like marble or rocks or anything. It's just grass and then some rocks in a river. Then Clarice bent down to pick it up because she knew that Percy wasn't going to be able to get up. And she also knew that she had to win this game. Because remember when Percy became the supreme lord of the washroom? There was a fight between them two in the washroom where Percy didn't get wet at all. Yeah, so Clarice, this was like her revenge on what Percy had done that time. But Percy saw in the distance that someone from their team was carrying the blue flag. But then the person on Clarice's team was bolting towards them and they remembered not to trip on the line. Percy couldn't really see, but the second he got up, Clarice was already up and the pole was standing. And the flag was like an inch away from touching the pole. And, well, Clarice's team was an inch away from winning the game. But Percy heard cheers. And he heard loud ones. Annabeth had captured the blue flag and kept it on the pole before the other team's person could get to them. Percy's team won capture the flag. So I think that's it for this podcast. I'll see you again with part 3 of Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed. Bye.